I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
He kōna I purangi tēnei nā te reo irirangi o Aotearoa.
Hello, I'm Simon Morris. I think we can all agree that these are troublous times right now. War, pestilence, famine, not to mention thorny ethical problems and apparently incompetent leaders all over the world. Where can we go to solve these problems? Well, clearly not to the movies, which usually give us a couple of hours off thinking about them. And one of the most common genres of escapist film is the action thriller.
One, go. You're only supposed to blow the bloody doors off.
If we can't tackle real problems, let's make up some fictional ones that our heroes can solve in an hour and a half with a simple punch on the jaw. Action films are always easy to watch, easy to make. The stories were formulaic, the stars were reasonably priced, you knew what you were getting. But as always, movie moguls look for ways to simplify the formula even further.
Yeah, I killed him. I killed him for money and for a woman. It all began last May. I was thinking about that dame upstairs and the way she had looked at me. And I wanted to see her again, close.
Post-war B-movies cut down on expensive sets, costumes and good-looking stars by shooting mostly in dark alleys. To keep the interest up, the plots got more violent, the villains more psychotic. The baddie could just about get away with anything in the heyday of the original Pulp Fiction. It's just, at the end, you had to kill him. Crime wasn't meant to pay back in those days.
Hey, pal, how you feeling?
Good old thing being equal, I'd rather be in Philadelphia.
I want blood, and you'll have it.
Only John can drive somebody that crazy.
When the low-budget crime movie fell out of favour, all sorts of other action genres cropped up in low-rent grindhouses. Spaghetti westerns, blaxploitation thrillers, and any amount of martial arts extravaganzas from Hong Kong, Japan, and more recently, Korea. Since then, Hollywood fans of these films have made their own expensive versions. Quentin Tarantino, James Wan, Robert Rodriguez, dozens of others. But what the new smart breed of dumb movies gain in spectacle, blood, violence and special effects, they seem to lose in traditional entertainment values.
I just slapped you, are you all right?
What?
So you like to fight. You ever win?
We no longer need characters as such, just people on a collision path. No comic offsiders or jokes of any sort, really. Not even those one-liners Arnold Schwarzenegger used to toss off as he threw people off buildings. And certainly no final clinch with a significant other. The new action movies prefer our hero or heroine to be alone at the end. Alone and dripping in blood.
Hey. What's your name?
This week, an all-action triple feature. Lesbian B-movie Love Lies Bleeding, Monkey Man, half Bollywood extravaganza, half Korean-inspired ultra-violence, and for a welcome respite, action for kids, Kung Fu Panda 4.
How should we do this? Quick and painless? Or slow and painful.
Slow and painful.
So buckle up and action stations. And first, a definite change of pace for Kristen Stewart after playing Princess Diana. Love Lies Bleeding.
The excitement in the air is palpable. The atmosphere is electric. A celebration of history in the making.
What is this place?
Kristen Stewart has always had a strangely enigmatic presence ever since she burst on the scene in the Twilight series. Is she the girl next door, an art house darling, or the star frustrated by stardom, Princess Diana in Spencer? In Love Lies Bleeding, she plays Lou, a woman going nowhere, running a gym in a small town for her father.
You talked to your dad recently?
Why?
Give us a call.
Lou hates her father, but has no intention of helping the FBI when they come calling. She's got an unattractive girlfriend called Daisy. How often do you see yellow teeth in an American movie? And is trying to get out of that relationship too. And then one day she sees someone spectacular. Her name is Jackie, played by the statuesque Katie O'Brien, and she's training at the gym for the bodybuilding champs in Las Vegas. Lou is immediately smitten.
Hey. So where did you appear from? Oklahoma. Yeah, I've never been anywhere but here.
Is Jackie as sweet as she appears, or is she street cunning? She's already cashed her considerable charms to arrange a job interview at the local gun club. The owner is played by Ed Harris in the most bizarre hairstyle I've seen this year. He's also Lou's father.
This here's Jackie.
Hi.
She needs a job. Says she'll do anything.
Yeah, you like guns?
Not really.
What the f*** you doing here, then? A bit more powerful than a punch.
By now, Jackie's moved into Lou's apartment, and in exchange, Lou's offered to help Jackie's aim for bodybuilding stardom with an endless supply of illegal steroids, adding a final element to the already toxic mixture of Love Lies Bleeding.
You're looking pretty good in there. There's some pretty serious lines going. Yeah? Why don't you want me working for your dad? He's a psycho.
The film was written and directed by British filmmaker Rose Glass, who made a big impression with another violent shocker, the low-budget St. Maud. This time, with the bigger budget that having Kristen Stewart on board gives her, she's decided to take it all further. There will be blood.
Call me when it's done.
What is this place? Huh? You don't understand. Get back in the car.
Rose Glass has her own view of strong women characters. In a recent interview, she said, "We keep seeing movies about women triumphing over oppressive forces because we're somehow ethically or morally superior. I'm so sick of that movie." And in Love Lies Bleeding, she's prepared to put the movie's money where her mouth is.
They found a body.
Looks like you've got your hands full.
You'll regret this.
We'll just need to fight back.
The relationship between Lou and Jackie takes an unnerving direction when doped-up Jackie gets off the leash and Lou needs to tidy up afterwards. It reminded me of the plot-heavy, hard-boiled B-movies of the 50s. They were called things like Detour, Desperate, and The Devil Thumbs a Ride. Love Lies Bleeding is straight out of that playbook.
I'm going to tell them everything you ever did.
FBI, open up.
Are you threatening me?
Yep.
Well, that was really stupid, honey.
Tough, not too bright characters, violence always on the verge of breaking out, and a lead character trying and failing to do the right thing, often because of meeting the wrong dame. The twist being that this time the hero and the femme fatale are the same person. But in every other way, Love Lies Bleeding is the old story of everything you do to fix things just makes them worse.
Drive around!
Hey, ain't that your truck?
Actually, I gotta go right now, but we should go to Winkie's.
Are you around tomorrow?
Yeah, absolutely. Sounds fun. I love it.
Okay, great. I'll see you tomorrow.
On the plus side, a low budget goes a long way these days. The film looks several million bucks, particularly when things go seriously haywire at the end. and there's no head office peering over Rose Glass's shoulder, demanding an acceptable ending.
We gotta get out of here.
Let's just keep driving.
I fucking love you, you idiot.
This isn't a film that cares particularly what a mainstream audience will accept. By the end, there's blood on the carpet, there's blood all over the room, in fact, and a few images in your memory you hope time will erase eventually. And there's no moral at all. Love's not the only thing left bleeding at the finish.
I'll never fall in love, okay?
Dev Patel is best known for playing nice chaps. David Copperfield, Slumdog Millionaire, Sunny Kapoor and the best exotic Marigold Hotel. Who knew that in his heart he wanted to write, direct and star in a ferocious revenge movie like Monkey Man?
Close your eyes and you will find yourself.
Monkey Man has been a long time coming, apparently, ever since Patel got a black belt in Taekwondo. His plan was to make a martial arts film that blends the visceral violence of Korean films with the spirituality of Bollywood.
When I was a boy, my mother used to tell me a story of a demon king and his army. They brought fire and terror to the land.
Well, this is hardly my wheelhouse, so I have no idea whether Monkey Man is what he wanted to make. I can only tell you what I saw. It opens on our unnamed hero, the kid, as a kid, with his mother telling him bedtime stories about demon kings and heroic white monkeys.
Until they face the protector of the people, the white monkey.
Mum's idea of a soothing story isn't mine. We flash forward 20 years or so where the kid works as a stooge at a backstreet fight club wearing a monkey mask. His job is losing fights to make his opponents look good, but he has aspirations. He wants a better job, one that'll get him closer to his enemies.
Give me the job no one wants to do. I'll do it.
Anyone who forgets their place, it doesn't turn out well for them.
Yes, enemies. For all his lack of an apparent career path, the kid plans to get revenge for something that happened in his past. Whenever he's at a loose end, he keeps thinking of his childhood, of his mother.
Do you remember me? Do you even know my mother's name? Do you know any of their names?
But just as we think we're about to find out what's bugging him, he snaps out of it until next time. At least he's got a job, waiting tables on the gangsters who run this town.
This is not the place to work if you can't handle that sort of stuff.
Every day, I've prayed for a way to protect the weak.
This is slumdog territory, where the rich own everything and the poor are nothing. And leading the rich are a sinister guru, a sort of Indian TV evangelist, a corrupt cop dishing out the beatings, and a shadowy politician being pushed into high places. Do you want more backstory?
Who is he?
Nobody. Just some crazy kid from the gutter.
He has to be extinguished.
Before your nobody becomes a somebody.
No, the audience for a film like Monkey Man doesn't need much more than this. They want action, though before that happens, the kid's going to need to sharpen up his act and possibly dye his monkey mask a fetching shade of white.
If a man wishes to challenge the gods, he must become more than a man. He must become a beast.
You're right, he's going to need a montage, though where Monkey Man's montage differs from the standard hair metal number in this sort of film is it uses the rapid-fire beats of Indian tablas to sharpen him up. And when finally Dev Patel, the Taekwondo expert and first-time director, steps up to the plate, the action scenes are undeniably impressive, particularly a fight in a kitchen with knives, guns, broken bottles and frying pans, all vying with each other for maximum impact. Behind the fights, there's rather less going on, though lack of depth hasn't hurt the John Wick movies, the obvious role model for Monkey Man. Once in a while, a support character makes a brief appearance, like Sharlto Copley as the Fight Club MC, or the amusing Alfonso and his tiny car.
I've got an answer to every prayer. I call her Nikki.
Minaj.
Big bumper.
Nice headlights.
Let's boogie.
Equally wasted is Sita, the nightclub hostess, who you keep hoping will be more than just someone the kid rescues now and again. Mind you, even the dastardly bad guys tend to be crowded out by ever more frequent fight scenes.
Anger will not quiet your soul, my son. Don't call me son.
Are fight scenes enough in a modern-day action movie? Well, a couple of years ago, I'd have said, no, you need someone to be interested in, not just someone with a grudge. But clearly, I'm not exactly a Monkey Man.
Yeah.
In a week of particularly crimson violence in Love Lies Bleeding and Monkey Man, it's a relief that the action in The Return of Kung Fu Panda is bloodless and animated. The characters may get knocked around, thrown off towers and downstairs, but they always get up with a quip and go off to do it again.
You finally met your match, Chameleon.
We're not so different, you and I.
Stand back. I'm gonna kick my butt.
Despite having minimal interest in either Kung Fu or the often overblown animation of DreamWorks Studio, I have fond memories of the original Kung Fu Panda movies. Were they 15 years ago? The story of overweight Panda Po, who surprised everyone, including himself, to become leader of Kung Fu heroes the Furious Five, was sweet-natured, funny, and particularly well-cast.
Being the Dragon Warrior, it's who I am!
Skidoosh! What do I know about being a spiritual leader?
What is it you're holding?
A cookie?
You were chosen to become something more than you already are.
The secret of its success and that of its two sequels was Jack Black, born to play Po, and a star-studded support cast including Dustin Hoffman, Seth Rogen, Jackie Chan, and particularly Angelina Jolie as Tigress, Po's best friend and strongest critic.
It is time to take the next step on your journey.
I'm not going to be the Dragon Warrior anymore.
You will advance to spiritual leader of the Valley of Peace.
No Angelina this time, sadly, as Po is told that his days as mere dragon warrior are now over, and he's about to be kicked upstairs as Grand Master. But first, Po must pick a new dragon warrior and then start practicing that spiritual leadership thing.
Inner peace. Inner peace.
Keep your surf off my turf!
Dinner, please. Dinner with peas in a sesame soy glaze.
This is not working at all.
Meanwhile, Kung Fu Panda 4's villain is warming up in the wings, someone who has the shape-shifting ability to conjure up and then impersonate some of Po's past enemies, including Ian McShane as Tai Lung, the, we thought, dead leopard.
Tai Lung? Big fan. Once I possess the Kung Fu of every master villain, no one will dare question my power.
Not even the great Dragon Warrior.
In Kung Fu Panda World, everyone is some sort of animal, and the villainous shapeshifter, Viola Davis, who seems to be getting into a badass villainess rut at the moment, is none other than the Chameleon. What else?
Who's that?
The most powerful shapeshifting sorceress, the Chameleon.
How do I find this, the Chameleon?
I'm gonna lead you right to her front door. Yeah!
Po needs help from someone who knows about the Chameleon, and that turns out to be a small but feisty fox called Jen, played by small but feisty Awkwafina. Chalk meet cheese, in other words.
Oh no! He's got a walking stick. What are you gonna do, stroll me to death?
This stick is not for the strolling. It's the staff of wisdom.
The Dragon Warrior is gonna be mad when he finds out you took his stick.
I am the Dragon Warrior!
I'm just gonna say it. Nothing about you says dragon or warrior.
So before devoting his life to inner peace, Po takes off on one more dragon warrior adventure with an unreliable fox at his side. Expect the pair to get into a bunch of scrapes as they tackle the dreaded The Chameleon and her army of, why not, listless Komodo dragons.
Then we'll just have to get an army of our own.
What is this place?
The best crooks and criminals live here.
You're a wanted criminal?
You sound surprised. Is it surprising?
Jack Black carries the movie with his usual exuberance, but he gets decent support from Awkwafina as a sort of artful dodger with possibly ulterior motives. Certainly her old friends don't trust her as far as they can throw her. Mind you, you can throw a small fox quite a long way.
If you so much as lay one claw on me, you're going to have to answer to... the Dragon Warrior. Warrior, 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 warrior. Who?
Oh, man. Are my adventures really that regional?
It's a series that possibly benefits if you've got a working knowledge of matters Kung Fu, or indeed Chinese. The visual style of the series has always been a cut above, and Chinese-American co-director Stephanie Stein keeps that up. In fact, the animation is one of the main attractions of Kung Fu Panda 4.
Now you kids be careful of those fireworks.
Violence makes our tummies tingle.
Why should we help you?
We can take down the Chameleon together.
Would I have liked it as much if the competition hadn't been so relentlessly bloody this week? Well, possibly not, and I have to say I missed the presence of Angelina Jolie and Seth Rogen, who was reduced, as far as I can tell, to one syllable in Kung Fu Panda 4. But at least no pandas were hurt in the making of this film, and after a week of wading through blood to get to the exit door, I'll take that. Which brings this action-packed episode to a close. I'm Simon Morris, and I hope you'll join me at the movies same time next week.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.